Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
It's Mike Shope.
Like, you're going to die someday, right?
Would I like to be in the hospital right now rather than be here? Yes. Have I ever thought about that? Yes. Right now, I'm thinking about hospitalization.
And the Bulldog.
I've thought about it a few times. There's been a few times, like right now, where I feel like I'm going to have a heart attack and die. I'm here.
Mike Shope and the Bulldog.
Like, I'm over here, and I'm doing what I just did, but it goes badly. And, like, I bang the table, and then, like, I just look at you, and, like, I can't breathe, and you're on the air.
Yeah, I know. I've thought about it. Like, I know exactly what I would do.
Four. Start talking about
simple words. Eye on fantasy.
On WGR Sports Radio 550.
That reminds me, you're off tomorrow, so there could be some fantasy.
Fantasy Friday.
The fantasy Joe. Great idea. Did you just think of that?
I just thought of it.
Fantasy Friday could happen.
Why don't you guys?
Fantasy Hockey Friday, perhaps.
Valentine's edition.
Hey, Fantasy NASCAR. Draft some drivers. Come on.
Let's do it. We totally will.
I'll even come in.
All right. You can come in.
No, that's a...
Come on in.
That is a bald face or bold face? What's the right...
Ooh.
Bald face?
No, it's bold, bold face.
Bold face. Bold face line.
What's a bold face?
I don't know. What's a bald face?
I don't know.
I don't think either of those make any sense, and I feel like I've heard both. I just said both. I don't know which it is.
I can hear Joe typing.
I know.
That's so great.
It is bald-faced.
Bald-faced.
Bald-faced lie.
But why?
Like,
you sort of have a blank stare, and what, you turn pale? Could that be bald-faced?
I don't know.
When you're lying, like you just turn, your face looks like your head?
I think I'm going to get, Joe, if you're Googling like the origin of the phrase, don't say it yet. My guess would be bald face means you're not even hiding it. Like if you're bald, there's no hiding it, right? So you're bald and like, I'm out there. I'm loving every minute of it, right? Yeah, I'm bald. So bald-faced lies, it's like I am not even trying to deceive you as I look at you and I'm lying.
A, I love that guess. B, you probably know you just turned Kramer into George because Kramer has a Kramer line when he's not wearing underwear.
Okay, right.
But George is bald, and George probably said things like that.
Right.
Joe is kind of the Seinfeld expert.
Oh, wow. What a terrible job.
No, that's all right.
All right. This is the same show.
Bald-faced. My guess is what I said, that your face starts to look like your blank, bald head, that you're turning pale and you're just, I don't know what else.
And this is where Joe tells us he couldn't find anything.
Well, what I found is that both bold face and bald face are currently used, but they both come from barefaced, which is the original term.
B-A-R-E?
Yes.
Okay.
So both are right. And both are wrong? I don't know.
All right.
Very confused.
This is not fulfilling me.
Like champing and chomping at the bit.
I am, right.
Sure.
Right. I feel like I'm being left here.
Tomato.
Without any real closure. And it's upsetting.
You're champing at the bit, but you're chomping like your teeth. So chomping gets through.
Yeah. Right. I'm chomping at the bit for closure on this conversation.
We will have Fantasy NASCAR tomorrow, I guess. Evan Abrams tomorrow. He said,
right.
I'm going to be off tomorrow, but please ask Evan Abrams about Daytona.
Yeah,
like, I will.
I thought.
I totally will.
I had, I don't know, maybe Dave Buchanan, who's, you know, has the racing show Fast Track on Sunday mornings in season, and that obviously is now, maybe tweeted about how you can do that at the casino.
And sure.
That might get me down there for that. I've not gone to do anything with the football or the XFL or the anything yet. But NASCAR, like, all right, I might go do that for Sunday and just sort of have a little fun with it.
Well, you're down here already.
Right.
And if you're traveling tomorrow, then you might just want to do it after you're done here.
I'm not traveling tomorrow. Everything I'm doing tomorrow with the day off
Valentine's.
It's local. It's like seniors weekend for the Nichols hockey team, and they've got a big-time opponent coming in on Friday afternoon. And then
tomorrow.
Tomorrow and then Saturday morning. But there's stuff with for the seniors and whatever. I just want to be there for it. So
let me take a look at this.
So I'm in town. So I mean, I could easily make that happen.
Sounds like it.
I mean, it would be easier if I could just do it on my phone. But we're not there yet.
There are two races tonight.
The twin 125s, I think, are what those are.
Or maybe what are now called the Blue-Green Vacations Duels 1 and 2?
Sure. Sure, that's what those
so are. So you can bet. Okay, I've never looked at this, but I'm looking at it now. You can bet who will win. And wait a minute, I don't know who Alex Bowman is. Slow down, phone. You can bet who will win, and then you can bet top three.
Oh.
So I've seen golf bets like that where you can do that. So you can, okay. Like, Kyle Busch is in duel two tonight.
Okay.
They're at 7 and then 8:45.
Okay.
And Kyle Busch is the favorite to win at plus 400 and to finish top three plus 100. Even money.
All right.
How does that sound?
Joe,
how does that sound to you?
I don't know.
I might get over there,
yeah,
and do this myself if you're not going to.
I'm not going to do anything for tonight. But
I might do something
but,
tonight.
But Sunday Sunday is for Sunday is a possibility.
Then, this is also like golf, you can bet certain prearranged head-to-head games. Kyle Busch versus Kevin Harvick.
Ooh.
Those are the top two favorites. This is the second. I just clicked on it by mistake, I guess. The second race tonight.
Okay.
Kyle Busch and then Kevin Harvick are the top two drivers. And you can bet who will be the who will finish better of the two.
All right. That could be fun.
Oh, could be. Of course it will be fun.
I think if I
it's unwatchable without this.
If I remember correctly, I'm a little out of shape. You brought up NASCAR, I don't know, the other day, and it sort of threw me because I have not been – I just have not been paying attention to it like I did even, I'd say, 5 years ago, maybe more so 10 years ago. But I do always watch Daytona if I can, if I'm home. But I think these races tonight, I think they've had qualifying, so we already know who is on the pole. I think that's how that works, and then these races tonight determine the rest of the field.
Okay.
Like the winners of these two races get like the second row, and then the rest of the field falls in line with how they finish in these races. I think that's.
Do you feel like that's a good system?
Sure. Yeah.
What if hockey had something like that, where you play the whole season out for like the top seeds, but then the last 3 weeks of the season, the team with the best record gets a spot. If you have the best record, like make it like football where the last part of the season is only in your division or something.
Uh-huh.
And so if you have the best record at the end, you take – this is your future, everyone, by the way. If you haven't thought about this before or heard about this before, congratulations for listening right now. This is the future.
Right.
The last part of the season, if your team is out of it, what has sports done every single time our whole lives about their formats? They have always changed them, just like this last report about baseball. The one thing, at least, that they've had in common every time is that they change it so that more teams who are bad have fans who will stay interested. So sports, baseball, hockey, they want – that's what the three-point system is. Everybody who's arguing about why does it have to be – why can't it be 3 points for a regulation win? They miss the point. The point is, the league knows what your argument is, but they don't care because they want the bad teams. What the three-point system does, the way it is compact the standings. So a team that's 5 points out thinks it's pretty close. Mm-hmm. Not really. If you did it the other way, they'd be like 12 points out, and fans wouldn't want to go to the last third of their games, which is basically us somehow anyway.
Yes.
Somehow, anyway,
yes.
The Sabres have
right.
blown through the third wall of sports and decided, like, or just managed to not matter for the end anyway, mm-hmm. somehow. It's incredible that they've done that. Really, we should appreciate that accomplishment.
It is magnificent.
Yes. So you have hockey set up where, like, okay, well, you're so bad. You've gone 0-60 or 0-70. You're the worst team we've ever seen. But If you can put it together in that final 2 weeks, we have a spot for you.
Yeah.
What do you think? That's kind of what this thing sounds like.
Well, the thing with this is that they have not had any season yet. So that's why they do this, because there's nothing to base.
Okay.
It is their first event of the year, which is kind of funny. Everybody's always said, oh, NASCAR, they have their Super Bowl first. But, I mean, that's really what they do. This is the biggest race on the calendar, and it's how they kick off their season.
But golf and tennis, it doesn't really matter in golf. Golf just uses the rankings for, like, do you make the field? And if you're Dustin Johnson or Rory McIlroy or Koepka, like, you're in the field.
Yeah.
You don't get, like, a five-stroke head start.
Right, and really the head start that you get starting in row 5 versus row 20 in a 500-mile race where there will be accidents and just all kinds of mayhem, it doesn't matter that much.
Okay.
I mean, really, you can start pretty far back and have a chance to still win. You're not disqualified.
The point about golf or tennis is it's like a year-round ranking system. So even though, like, your first tournament might be your biggest tournament, tennis is pretty much like that. It's one of the first tournaments of the year, Australia. But your whole year's worth of points determine how you're seeded.
Mm-hmm.
And so, like I said, golf really doesn't matter how you're seeded. You're just in.
Yeah.
And you play from zero like everybody else.
Right.
But in tennis, it can mean a lot. You know, you're going to play, if you're a seed.
Oh, because you're playing head-to-head, whereas in golf, you're playing.
You're not going to play Roger in the first match.
Right, yeah, yeah.
So in auto racing, couldn't they do that? Like, they would have the option of doing that. If everybody had, like, sort of a score the whole year, then you go in the next year, and that's your score. But they do this.
Yeah.
Why they do it is probably, and I'm deferring to you on this, but I think this makes logical sense. They do it this way so that people will watch tonight.
Sure.
And care about tonight.
Yep.
Right?
Yeah,
so,
I think so. Yeah. I would say that, you know, I'm pretty sure at least that's how it used to be done. I'm not sure if it still is, like what I said about the field for Sunday's race. But even at peak NASCAR interest, I wasn't real sure about how the – I watch the race and just watch the race. I like the cars, you know? I like how it sounds. I like how it looks. I'm not really that invested in who's where and who, you know, whatever.
They're all the same guy to you.
Yeah, mostly. I mean, you know, there's guys that I liked more than other guys, but I mostly just like to look at it. Fox has done a fantastic job with those events, that sport on TV. Like, Fox, They were made to elevate that broadcast. Like, they just did a lot of things that everyone else is doing now. They just did it, and it worked really well. So it's a good television event, I would say. Like, top shelf auto racing on Fox is very well done.
How long is this race?
Ooh,
5 hours.
On Sunday, it's 500 miles, so it'll start at 2:30, and Sabres play the Leafs Sunday night. And
at 7?
It should be done by the time the hockey game starts.
Probably
sooner, but like 4-3.
Weather,
yeah,
or if there's a few too many crashes.
Right, then it can really stretched out.
Because some of these times, hasn't it gone like really late?
Oh, yeah.
They wait out the weather. It's like
20
laps left or something, and they want to get it in.
It can be long.
They don't want to just call it.
Right, right.
So they wait.
Right. They might wait out rain if they think it's going to clear and they can dry the track rather than postpone and have, you know, it wrapped up on Monday or something like that. So, yeah, it can be a long haul.
Joe, you watching this thing?
No, I'm not watching any of it. I'll watch the XFL.
Yes. I put my lineup in today for week 2. Let's go, Jordan Tamu.
Wow,
Jordan Tamu. Joe, do you know who that is?
That's the L.A. quarterback? It's one of the quarterbacks.
St. Louis?
St. Louis, maybe.
Maybe?
Yeah, St. Louis.
I'm not sure I'm right here.
The L.A. quarterback is Landry Jones, I think. So,
who was Landry Jones? Right, the Steelers. And then was he injured? Like, maybe he didn't play the first game? I don't know.
Wow.
So you can bet Daytona. You can also bet the Australian Grand Prix over here, by the way, which is a month away.
Oh, okay.
You can bet that.
Yeah, not real up on the participants in that event.
I might have to swing over there. Tonight is 2000s night at the Sabres, and I was on Twitter this morning for a while, and it seemed like really kind of nice. It was kind of like even some of the people who tweet at the Sabres account weren't awful. about it. Like that lately has been a constant.
Mm-hmm.
People, whoever they are, I don't know. I sometimes wonder if it's like one person with 500 accounts, but
you know, I don't know.
It could be, right? Like theoretically, it could be. But the people who tweet at the poor, probably 22-year-old person running the Sabres account,
right,
are just like, you know,
right,
we have a game tonight,
right,
and then it's just like a stream
unload on them
of how awful they are for saying they have a game,
right, yeah,
right. So today, that a little bit, and just in general, was more, because that feels good, by the way, doesn't it? Doesn't that feel so good?
Oh,
to just like,
yeah,
punch in the face,
no doubt,
a young person who's over there. So the thing today was more like, oh yeah, like the 2000s, sure, cool.
Yeah.
And there's this poster. I don't know how you're gonna get it. Like part of the thing with the poster, they're giving out a poster tonight. People were saying, is it gonna be all like folded up into, you know, like creases and everything, because it'll be all folded up. I don't know.
I hopefully they have it at least rolled. And then
at least roll,
and then it's up to you. If you want to unfurl it and then deal with that, then that's your problem. But it, I think you can provide that in a roll with a little string tying it closed, and like you, if you know what it is, I you know, I guess you could take it apart and then put it back together.
Rubber band,
but rubber band, whatever. Yeah, like that's. I hope that's how they are handing those out.
I wonder if it'll be like pretty small, like poster.
Yeah, I don't know.
When you think about a poster, it's big. It's a poster you had in your bedroom.
Sure, it's not going to be that big.
It's probably not going to be that big, but if it's like the size of a program cover, that's not really a poster. Anyway, I don't know. But they're having 2000s night, and my point is that most of what I saw on Twitter today was sort of nice about it. It was like, hey, cool. I remember the 2000s, and I thought about that for us because probably – unlike when it's like 70s night and you go, oh, you had to see Gilbert Perreault skate from end to end or Al Smith skate off after the anthem.
Right, right.
It's like people, you don't have to preface
right
any memories of that decade because most people listening remember it.
Right. We did shows, you know, before those games.
Most people producing our show remember the 2000s.
Joe, thank you for Joe. Yeah.
Right? Like, yeah. You got to tell Joe about who Bob Sauve was. That's fine. It's not Joe's fault.
Right.
But this, you know, like, oh, yeah,
yeah.
Sure.
The poster looks like
I liked it.
Yeah, it's blue and gold, and it's got, like, Lindy and Darcy on it and Ryan Miller right in the front of it, in the middle of it, I think, as well.
Yep.
I think it looks pretty good.
He is, by the poster, he is the main figure of the decade. I don't mind that.
No. I think that's,
he was here almost the whole time.
Yeah.
When Hasek leaves in a blaze of glory after one of the worst losses in Sabres history, he leaves, and that's saying something, he leaves, and Miller is 2003, I believe, he makes an appearance. Four at the latest.
Right, he's here a little bit. You remember he made his debut.
Detroit.
There was some crying. I mean, and then we talked to him maybe a year after that or so is how I remember it. And he'd done a lot of work with a mental skills coach and stuff and learned how to, you know, try to harness his emotions more effectively and that kind of thing. That was one of the first times, if not the first time, we ever talked to him. Not that we did it a lot, but I remember that conversation.
But he was, anyway, like, not to be too specific here, the year that was canceled, that if they had played, this would actually be the 50th season. The year that was canceled, Miller was the Rochester goalie, and right, he was a star. And they played here. My dad and I went to a playoff game against Milwaukee, maybe, and they played here. And Miller and Vanek and Roy.
Gostad, even.
Yeah, Pominville. Like, they were all on that team, and he was a star. Like, it was – the story about 506 is more they just shockingly got good – and that's, you know, true enough. But you did have the year before, you did have, like, if that was true right now, like if Rochester had a really good team, I can't tell you what place that team was in back then, but they were in the playoffs.
Yeah.
They've not won a round, like, since.
Been a long time, yeah.
Maybe Rochester has not won a single round since. So, I mean, think about that. I think that's true. It's something like, it's been a long time. Maybe not literally since then, but it's been a long time. So if you had like a Rochester team, Sabres fans are just, you know, feed me. as miserable as the team has been, like, feed me. And if you had a really good Rochester team, we would want to, like, see them and have those, whether, you know, hey, we're not making the playoffs, so can we get them here? And that was a kind of an interesting
– yeah.
There was no hockey at all.
Right.
But that was kind of an interesting one-off sort of thing. Anyway, this point is that Miller goes back even before the canceled season.
That's right. And then he's obviously here past the past the decade of 2000, 2010. He's traded in 2013, right?
Drury and Briere leave when they do. It's July of 07.
Right.
And so, like, fine.
Yeah.
Miller is – or it's Lindy. But
sure.
You know,
but as far as a player goes, like, I'm totally comfortable with Miller being the centerpiece of that. It's,
right.
You know, again, it's too bad he's not – he was just here on Sunday, but
You'd like to
have
tied that together, I think.
But anyway, he I think appropriately is the centerpiece of that poster, and I think that's well earned.
Yeah, hopefully it's nice.
Yeah.
When people get it, hopefully they think it's nice.
Yeah.
I haven't seen it. We'll have Brian Koziol on next, talk more about not only the theme tonight, but also the game. And Sabres are getting Victor Olofsson and Kylo Poso back for this game against Columbus.
No Marcus Johansson, though.
No Marcus Johansson.
He's got an upper body issue, I guess.
I'll take the trade.
Me too.
Then Rob will be here at 4, and we'll talk about Sabres stuff past and present, mostly a little bit of Astros today, a little bit of quarterbacks today. I heard some of your show yesterday with Sal. I like the quarterback movement stuff. I like that talk. I'm eating it up.
Yeah.
Good. Got to talk to Steve Tasker. I just heard Steve on One Bills Live be like, why would the Raiders get rid of Derek Carr? I got to talk to Steve. Like, really? That's amazing if they were to do that? Yeah. I got to talk to Steve. Of course they would be open to that, right? I mean,
I think.
Is the guy really good at all?
I think I ended up settling on leaving him there just because I didn't want to move everybody around, but I it's certainly possible to me that if they get Tom Brady, they're moving Derek Carr.
I mean, when do they pick? In the middle?
I don't know.
What if they get Justin Herbert?
No.
Wouldn't you? You could make an argument, right? Like, anyway, I got to talk to Steve. I was in East Aurora yesterday. I was thinking about Steve a lot.
All right.
Saw Charlie's Diner there on that street. Like, you know, I went there with Steve. I got to talk to him. And then I get here today, put the headset on. He's like, why would they get rid of Derek Carr? I'm like, I got to call this guy. It's been too long. All right. Brian Koziol after sports, or the break anyway. Mike Schopen, the Bulldog at 716. This is WGR.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
It's also really hard to, like, slam management for some of the moves that they've made that haven't worked out. And then being like, well, they should have made this one. Like,
yeah.
maybe they're actually trying to practice a little bit more of a hesitancy and a due diligence on this trade than they have in previous deals.
Greg Wyshynski, ESPN, yesterday on WGR. I was not there. I mean, I'm just having sort of Dwayne flashbacks. I was not there that day either.
Right.
The occasional Wednesday.
There have been some Wednesdays. Yeah, you weren't there for Danny Carcillo was on a Wednesday.
Was it?
Yeah.
What's going on there? And why do I want Wednesdays?
I don't know what happened. I'm not sure how that came together, but it just is how it's worked.
Here's what happened yesterday. This is bad and funny. I can't hold back. So my wife had scheduled this. I want you to know this. she had scheduled an appointment, because it's something we have been talking about for a couple of weeks and also 15 years. She had scheduled an appointment to meet with somebody over our wills.
Wow.
Right?
Uh-huh.
Like, doesn't every married couple, I'm 48, doesn't every married couple, somebody tells you to do it or somebody in your relationship thinks of it and, like, have the meeting? Have the sit down and have the meeting. So, I mean, maybe 50 times over the years we've had that conversation. It only goes that far.
Yeah.
Hey, you know what we should do?
Yeah.
We should go and meet with somebody about our wills. So, like a month ago, maybe not even that, she scheduled something with a guy we know, Jeff Markello. She scheduled something with him for yesterday at like 9:30 in the morning.
So you got a will guy now.
Yeah, I got a will guy. Right. Jeff did our, like, the sale of our house, and we've known him. So, 9:30 in the morning, she takes the day off. The original idea is we'll have the will guy thing, and then, like, we'll go to drink wine somewhere.
Uh-huh.
And then my son had a band concert at night, so we're going to get back and pick the kids up and go to the band concert.
All right. Sounds like a nice day.
Yes. And it turned out to be yesterday. So, I got the text one day, like a month ago, whatever, like February 12th is the will guy. Great. So we meet with the will guy. Brian Koziol in just a second. Brian, sorry. Hang on a second if you don't mind. We meet with the will guy. It's like an hour. Then we're in East Aurora. We visit her old job.
Yeah.
She sees a bunch of people that she used to work with. That's cool. That's another hour. We go to lunch. That's another hour. Had a couple beers, right? It's like 1:50. Mm-hmm. We're in the car. We're like halfway between East Aurora and home, Grand Island. And I go, you know what I could do right now?
Go to work. Go to work. Right.
Yeah. I could just go to work right now.
Yep, right.
It's like 10 to 2.
Right.
But she did not like hearing. She did not like that line. She did not like that line.
I'm going to just tell you right now, I'm definitely not doing that tomorrow. I'm not doing any of that stuff. I'm doing some of that stuff. But at 10 to 2, I'm definitely not going to go, you know what I could do right now is go to work. There's no way that's happening.
Don't rule it out. You might.
Okay. Well,
you might.
I guess.
There's plenty of times when I thought that.
It could go badly, I guess.
There's been plenty of times when I thought that. You plan a day off, and it really is not that interesting.
Right.
And, like, the day is half over. And, like, I guess I could go in.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. Well, I get, yeah. It could.
You never do.
Right.
You never do.
But you think, like, I should have.
You could.
I've blown a day off here is what I've done.
Kind of. It's not until, like, 1:30, 2 o'clock where you start to go, geez, I better make something out of this.
Right.
Or else why did I need this day off? Like, why don't I just go in?
Yeah.
That's how bad it is.
All right.
Brian Koziol with us now on the West Her Hotline. Brian, anything to lend to this?
If you had the will, I've not. Now I feel like I just had a friend tell me I should plan a will.
Yes,
because Mike just did.
You've never even talked about it.
We've never even had the conversation.
Come on,
no, I swear to God,
you're like 10 years older than me.
I know. We're steeped in denial, or at least I am.
Yeah, I've had the will done recently, but your conversation reminds me of something that my wife has been wanting me to do for many years. Is that I still have my mother's name on my bank account for when we set it up when we were like 16 years old.
Oh, wow.
That she's the, you know, the secondary person that can have control of it. Like, I set it up with her like when I was like 16 years old, and I never took it off. And she's like, how come on your statement it's got your mother's name? I'm like, oh, it's when we set it up when I was like 16, I never take it off. And every time she's like, you know, you should put my name there instead. I'm like, yeah, I'll get to it. And then, because I hear you saying, you know, every year you think about doing the will, and I'm like, I got to take care of that bank thing. That's still got my mother's
name. That's good.
That's
good. You know what it is? Like, so, I mean, I never resisted this idea, because I understand why.
Sure.
Like, you could, it's important, but I've also thought, come on, like, you get all my stuff.
Well, you and the kids
get all my stuff.
Right.
The thing is, why I think, if I can try to simplify it a little bit, if it's not even necessarily something I need to do, but it's if you die together.
Ah.
Right? Like, what's going to happen if, like, you're with your wife, you're out on a date, and you're in an accident.
Yeah.
And so, like, what happens to your kids? And if that's not figured out.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then if, you know, money and stuff can also maybe get complicated. But if you die together, what happens? That's big.
I do think probably I shouldn't have been so hasty to say we've never talked about this. Probably when I had the motorcycle and we'd go out together on it, I'm damn sure we had that conversation. Oh,
you're thinking it.
Right.
You're thinking
it. Right. You're thinking, okay, there's a train. You know, like, okay.
What happens?
Right. Yeah.
So you have to choose people.
Yeah,
I said to the guy.
Right.
This is a friend of mine. Like, I said to him, is it appropriate and common to inform the person that you're choosing to be the executor, to be the different, what I forget right now, like to be those things? Do you tell them? Or do you just wait for them to get a letter from you that says, you have been chosen? Like, you know, whatever. Like, I think you probably want to ask them.
Probably want to prep them if they want to be up for figuring out what to do with your children.
He said, you ask them. Yeah. Normally, you might ask them and say, is it okay? Would you do this for us in the event of this other thing? And then they're supposed to say, yes, I'd be honored to. That's what they're supposed to say.
Hopefully, yeah, ideally, yeah.
Right, Brian?
I think it's kind of like when you propose, you should kind of know what the answer is coming before you do it. I think you do the same thing with this. Like, if you're not really sure what kind of answer you're going to get, then maybe you're picking the wrong people.
Yeah,
I think that's a very solid point.
That's good. That's a good. That's a good standard. Right. I think, yeah. Brian. That's a good standard.
Yeah.
All right. To the Sabres, 2000s night. Now I asked Joe. Joe is 24. And Joe will go to games. He'll get tickets through work or make plans to go once in a while. And, you know, this is 05, 06. This is 06, 07. Joe, are you going to this game? He's like, no. And I thought I would get a different reaction. I thought, like, Joe might say, you know, and Joe, you should speak for yourself if you want to on this. Like, I thought he might say, oh, geez, I'd like to. It should be pretty cool. But yeah. I did not get that reaction from him. Brian, like, what do you think the significance of tonight will mean to the atmosphere, to maybe making fans a little bit happier than generally I think they've been?
Well, I mean, we'll definitely have more bodies in the seats, I think. It's been pretty lackluster in terms of attendance the last 3-4 times that the Sabres have had a home game. I mean, honestly, we're really celebrating like the last time the Sabres were good, right? I mean, this is it.
Yeah.
This is the last time they were good. And you know, for me, working these games versus me when I was younger and not, like, this is really the only time that, you know, the mid-2000s to the late-2000s where I got to cover a team that actually had success. And it's definitely memorable. And my favorite Sabres, if you ask me, of all time, like, they're all from this era. It's Briere, it's Miller, it's Drury. Like, these are my favorite Sabres of all time. I mean, when I was first old enough to know what was going on, I watched LaFontaine and McGillney, and they were super fun. But to really be invested watching and working, I mean, those were the teams that really had the most success in my lifetime. So, I mean, I'll remember those teams out of the lockout forever.
Yeah, I'm hopeful that it's a really fun night for fans. I mean, I know, you know, the 90s night, Mike referenced Dwayne, and, you know, and I had my turn at that, and it, like, it just sort of like swallowed us whole for a little while there. But prior to that, like the odd night, I was supposed to go to that game and I got sick sitting here doing the show and missed it, and I was really bummed out. And that, you know, like that was the seats are the color of the odd, colors of the odd and everything. And I think, and even before that, they got a lot of credit for getting like the music right and the graphics and all this stuff. And I think they've done a lot of good things with these nights generally. Like overall, I think it's still been a win for them. And I hope for their sake and ours that tonight sort of gets that back on track for them.
I agree. And probably a big piece of that too is these players. You know, we can debate the game presentation portion of it, the giveaway portion of it, but these players were so beloved by, I mean, you know, to our audience too. I mean, the younger ones, this, you know, these players, like we mentioned, like Briere and Drury, you know, I remember us even doing talk shows back then of like, you know, who do you love more essentially between the two? There were so many good reasons to like them both. And I mean, these, I think this is probably because this is the last, other than the night that you knew they were going to get McDavid or Eichel, I mean, there really hasn't been like a time since these teams where you really said yes, like something was accomplished that they set out to do. And it's kind of sad that it's taken this long. But, you know, we're going back to this era now where we're celebrating the last time that they were really good.
What a way to put that. Brian Koziel with us. Yeah, like I could talk all day about it. The NASCAR, betting on NASCAR was just a gift from the gods that occupied us for the first 15 minutes and then Will's talk. But I was ready to go all day on the 2000s. Like, it's not even Drury versus Briere. It's like, is Alex Kotalik maybe the favorite, your favorite player ever?
Right.
Like, it was so deeply rooted. Nothing in my career ever comes close. Nothing with the Bills in the last 2 years. Like, it, maybe 1990 Bills would have been like 06 Sabres. Like, nothing comes close to that. Every player, you could have done a week of shows on every player on the team.
Right. I have somewhere, well, in fact, I know, I think we still have the hat, but it will live on forever because it's a photo that you're barely in, but your son Julius is in it, and Owen is sitting there. It's a Leafs-Sabres game from, like, I don't remember.
11 or 12.
Yeah, right. It's after, but Owen's wearing a goose hat. Like, Paul Gostad had a hat, you know? Like, that's how deep. Paul Gostad had a radio show with us.
Yeah.
Like, everybody on the team was, like, anybody on the team was capable of being someone's favorite player.
Yeah, everybody mattered.
Yeah.
That's right.
I mean, that's what you get when the team is that good, and even by then. That still lingered, and guys were beloved because of what they did on those teams in the mid-2000s.
Yeah, there was an organic quality of that, though. Like, it was nothing, there was no marketing aspect to it. There was nothing sort of cheesy about it. It was just like, okay, the Sabres, they took a year off, which was brilliant. And then they came, like, they should always take a year off and come back from that. Maybe we'd like them more necessarily. Brian, go ahead.
Well, yep. I just want to jump in. That team, when you're talking about the likability factor, like, no matter what kind of hockey guy you are, there was a player for you on that team. If you're, like, tough, grizzly, veteran, you know, tough guy, hockey guy, like, you had Warner, you had McKee, you had those guys. You're, you know, Coletta's running around, I think, even, you know, early 2000s. Yep. Then you've got, you know, if you love the offense and the excitement, you had a Finneganoff just flying up and down the ice. You know, of course, I'll even, you know, I think one of the most intriguing topics from that time is Tim Connolly. I feel like I remember covering that series and hearing national reporters saying, like, is this guy vaulting up to be like a top 10 forward in the NHL? Like, that's how good he was playing at that time. And, you know, there's that storyline of, God, if Connolly's career could have kept going and he could have stayed healthy, like, what could that have all led to beyond even just some of the bigger names that are involved, like Miller and Drury and Briere, who obviously all had moments. And I mean, my answer to when someone always says, like, oh, it's the loudest I've ever heard the building tonight or whatever, and I would say, yep, we always just say that. But my real answer for that, when somebody asked me, it's the double OT winner for Briere in game one against Philly. Like, that was, for me, when I think about loudest moments in the building, that's my answer.
And I would pick a Kotalik goal from the Carolina series in game three that I think makes it 4-1, and the Sabres are just in a boxing match. It would be the Hurricanes are already down on the canvas, and the Sabres are still pummeling them.
Didn't Ludman maybe score on a breakaway or something coming out of the penalty box? Like, I feel like there's a Ludman goal in there somewhere.
Maybe. He had a goal in Carolina.
Okay.
That,
all right.
Jeremy and I were at game five, and he scored on a breakaway in Carolina.
Oh, okay,
that was hot.
I'm mixing things up.
But he maybe, I don't know. But the Kotalik goal for 4-1 was just like, this is a joke.
Yeah.
And they were never that again in that series. They were never that again. The game turned, they won 4-3.
Yeah.
So that's the middle of the game. It's 4-1, and it is a joke. Carolina comes back, almost wins, almost ties it. They shut them out in game four. And, you know, are never behind again in the series. So that's the one for me. By the way, the Kotalik goal, we're going to find out right now. Think of the loudest you've ever heard the building and then compare it with this.
Finneganoff, now it's stolen away by Commodore. He got leveled by Lutman. And here's a penalty coming up to Commodore. Another shot, they score!
Domination.
here in the second period by Buffalo.
No kidding. Lorenz, I mean, he always nailed it.
Yeah.
Domination is right.
All right. So
Ludman had a
Ludman had a role in that. Okay. Yeah. There it is. Thank you. I saw
after
some
that.
Validation.
After that goal. Brian, remember that goal?
Yeah.
After that goal, somebody's got a breakaway. Greer is my guess. Not sure I'm right. Greer's got a breakaway after that. They change goalies. They go to Gerber. Right?
Yeah.
They go to Gerber after that. Carolina is just like bloody, and you're just dragging them out into the street at this point. They go to Gerber. Greer, maybe somebody has a breakaway and gets stopped, and it's still like Sabres for a couple of minutes after that. They don't score again, and then they don't score again until game five.
Right.
Like it was just right there. But Carolina, they got there.
Right.
Brian, again, we could go longer, but we're out of time. Sorry. Olofsson back.
That should help the power play, especially with Johansson out now. I think he's going to fit right back in, so at least you're getting the power play that was so good to start the year. That unit will be back together tonight.
Very good. Thanks for your time.
Okay, guys, thanks.
All right, it's Brian Koziel. His appearance with us is brought to you by Losi and Ganji, Buffalo's workers' comp attorneys working hard for hardworking Western New Yorkers.
Rob Ray at 4. Mike Schopen, the Bulldog, at 716.
Indeed. We'll look forward to that. I am right here right now to tell you about my friends at Capital Heat. Now, did you know that you can use one system to heat and cool your home with dirt? Yeah, that's right. A geothermal heating and cooling system from Capital Heat can be used year-round because it harnesses the energy underground to keep you warm in the winter and cool in the summer. Now, geothermal systems are more efficient than traditional gas heating and AC systems because they burn zero fossil fuel, so they're actually better for the environment. Plus, there's no more worrying about your pipes getting filled up with snow when there's a lot of snow on the ground or worrying about carbon monoxide poisoning, period. Geothermal systems are all around cleaner, quieter, and more reliable. They're built to last longer than traditional heating and cooling systems, and they actually save you money over time. If you're still burning oil and propane, you're just burning your money. You can go to capitalheat.com/heatpumps and put your numbers into their savings calculator, see how much you could potentially save. If you're someone who already has solar panels equipped on your home, you should know that a geothermal heating system works perfectly to heat and cool your home using the electricity you're already generating. And to close it out here, the best thing about Capital Heat is they don't work on commission. So there's no sales tactics, no upselling. They're not trying to take your money. They just want to find the best solution for you. For honest heating and cooling contractors, trust Capital Heat.
Under coming out for Buffalo. Through the middle of the pass. High. Knocked down. Javier fell. Here's Plant coming in. The pass gets over and the shot. Score! Dumont gets a goal. Buffalo wins the game. Buffalo leads Ottawa 3-0 in the best of seven, and the building goes nuts.
Great job, Joe. I was thinking, like, you know, it would be perfect right here. We have almost no time. Just give me another one. And JP Dumont's around for tonight.
Yes, he is.
Dumont was not on the second team.
Right.
Which was unfortunate.
Yeah, they walked away from an arbitration award, I think, for him. He ended up in Nashville. That's where he finished his career.
That is such a great goal to remember. And I love that you picked Bob Cole for that, Joe. That's the one I watch over and over.
I
used to do that.
I hope we get the rest of the day like that. That's, you know, we don't have to guess at whether it's Henrik Joki Haru talking or not, because there's one that I'm dying to hear because I remember it and I remember it a certain way whether it's Bob Cole or Rick, I want to hear it. And I'm looking forward to it. I don't want to. Maybe I'll tell Joe to get it. I don't know. Maybe it'll just come up. But there's a big goal that I remember right where I was when it happened and what it sounded like.
So sit tight. We'll do more of this. And I also want to stick up for 2001, which I believe is in the 2000s.
That's where the goal I'm thinking of is scored.
Okay. I mean, that was a good team, and I tweeted about them earlier, and somebody got right to me with, like, well, Pekka.
Yeah.
And, okay, that's fine, and I wonder if a lot of fans think about that team negatively. It's also Hasek, you know,
yeah,
skating off.
I don't think of it negatively. I just – there is a little bit of a lament, like – you know, they added everybody they added to the team, and if they had ever managed to bring Pekka in, even like halfway through that season, you know, what more could have been accomplished there?
Or just for game seven against Pittsburgh.
Right, sure, whatever, right.
Even.
Just to
that would have been a good
just
time.
To chase down Kasparaitis.
Just for that. Just for that one shift that could have used him.
Yeah.
Rob Ray after sports here on WGR.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.